So, here are some simple revelations. Each of you communicate full, energetic being on a screen. Each of you is as present on a screen and available for this work as you are in person. You are housed in a new space for me, because I get to see you in your other environment. And I get to see how remarkably those environments suit you. But what's most remarkable is how fully you come across and are present for me. You'll have to explain to me if you wish down the road or later whether that's working for you as well. We'll certainly know if we continue and nobody shows up for the next version of this. Here's what's crucial. The practice that Rudy gave us, which really always seemed to be of the moment, that we would need to stop and sit and take a breath into our heart and ask inside for help to surrender, which meant to kind of let go of all of the other energies taking place around us, mind stuff, world events, and go deeply inside and let go. Just let go. And when you were able to let go, you, we, all of us would have a moment, or more than a moment, of the sudden, oh, wow, wow. It just felt like the heaviness, the weight, the drama, the stuff that was preoccupying you for however long, 10 seconds, a minute, 20 minutes, went away. You just felt, oh. And it was very helpful when you're raising children. It's very helpful when you're studying for exams. It's very helpful when you're late for the theater. It's all of this ability to take a breath and turn inward and find a place that goes, you're okay, relax, not a big deal, you're going to be fine. If that's how it speaks to you, it could also speak to you and welcome home, I love you, come sit quietly, you're my favorite, whatever the voice does for you. That voice, that welcoming, which may not even have a voice, has a sense of caring. And it takes you in and the world is able to go away. If you take the double breath, going not just into your heart chakra, but then taking, letting a little of that out and letting another breath go down to your navel chakra, that takes you from a state of being into a state of doing. But it is informed doing. It is doing informed by this higher state of awareness. So you allow yourself to go down to this place and you get not only the navigational system that tells you how to move once you're done meditating, what to do next, it actually gives you the energy, the power, and the capacity to function in the world from a sense of service. You will serve the world by being conscious. You will serve the world by being in touch with its directives, not by being in touch with all of the newspaper things that are talking to you and all the magazines and televisions and all the people around you who are dialoguing with you and flooding your mind with thoughts and ideas and fears and hopes and all sorts of stuff. What happens here, which is really, really essential, is you let go of all of that and you listen to this simple voice. It's not unlike driving in your car and it says, in 2 miles, pull over to the right, and the exit will appear on your right. And then you get to a quarter of a mile away, I'll say, in a quarter of a mile, turn right. Then it will give you the name of the street, and then it will tell you where to go. That incredible, magical, spiritually driven navigational system we all have on online in our cars. This is very similar. It's there, and if you pay attention, it has almost the same voice, but it just says, okay, be quiet. Okay, in 5 minutes, you should get up and do something important to tell you what to do. Make breakfast, get up and brush your teeth. Whatever it does, it will direct you. And if you pay attention to it, and it knows you're paying attention to its directives, it knows, oh, they're online. They are listening to me. You are connected to yourself. And when you're connecting to yourself and you demonstrate that you're connected to yourself, they give you directives, information, how to live, how to get through the next moment. One of the things I've tuned into as a teacher, and you've seen this now in recent time, my hand movements. I'm given a strange kind of directive to move my hand in ways that make no sense to me. I would never move my hands like this, but it says do it. And when I do it and I pay attention and I follow out, they give me this great big like yes. They know I'm listening, they know I'm paying attention, and they know I'm servicing their directive. So when it says do this and aim it at this part of a person's spiritual anatomy, what takes place is an opening that I feel, and occasionally I see you feel it. Even on the screen, it's been really interesting how some of you knew when I was looking at you. I could tell there was like a connection. And that's hard to understand because I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at screens of people, but some of you connected with that immediately, some of you didn't. It doesn't matter, because the energy told me what to do and I paid attention. And the thing that's working in my life right now is I have become a servant of an inner voice that says what to do, how to be. Shut down, be quiet, sit still, listen, make that phone call, write that email, get up, walk outside. It just tells me what to do. And every time I listen to it, it's not always word driven, it's like a very subtle knowing. And if I do it, the reward of doing it is this flood of connectivity. I just feel like I am that. I am connected. Not that I am in some inflated sense that. I am a tiny little piece that is connected to and being talked to by that. And I go, oh my God. And if I serve it, it uses me. If I don't serve it, it will go about do its business. But it's looking for us. It looks for us to become manifestors of its highest principle. And it will guide us and tell us what to do. And the reward of it, if there is such a thing, is this sense of inner peace and joy and well-being and sense that you're connected to something so big and vast and beautiful and wonderful, and that you can walk around no matter what's going on around you in a state of profound grace. It is so amazing. And I hesitate to talk about it almost in a time when so many people are having so many different kinds of sufferings. The stories that are out there now, every individual story out there right now is amplified by the total disorientation and disruption of the social model. It is completely changing. Whether it will come back in familiar ways or not, we don't know. We have no idea. How this is going to play out, who knows? What do we do in the middle of that unbelievable transformation, which could be dramatically unsettling? Maybe already is. But I can tell you the only thing I bring to this table, and I know there's a lot of people guiding you. You open the newspapers, the TV, and they all have information on what to do. I will tell you the thing I tell you week by week, and it hasn't changed, which is sit still, make the time, because you've got a lot of time, turn off the TV, just sit there, feel inside. If you need to, ask inside for help to go there, to go to this place, and accept, be, surrender to it. Listen to it. That's the whole teaching. asking for help to surrender. And when you really do surrender and you get it down deep into your navel chakra and you get it to move around, even you get it to move up your spine into the top of your head, it explodes outward. You are so connected to the inner outer sphere of higher being, if you will, a higher vibration, a multiple dimensional reality. And it comes back into play here. And right now, this outer larger dimensional reality is really slamming into the familiar, structured, relatively easy life we've all been living. That is being broken apart. Again, it may reassemble, it may not reassemble. It may be familiar, it may not. It may bring us peace and joy and love. It may bring us unbearable disruption. I do not know what it is going to do. I know, however, that I can serve myself, the world, each of you, by listening to what it tells me to do, or what it, more importantly, knows what to do. And it's not you and it even, because what really starts to happen is you become separate from a person benefiting from or serving. You just become the very servant itself. You become the very energy itself. You become that which goes into the world, goes into your life, goes into your day, and provides what is needed by everyone and anything around you. It will be called truth. It'll be called beauty because it will have remarkable honesty behind it. It will be called vulnerability. It will be called not knowing, which is much better in some way than knowing. Your honesty in not knowing can be much more profound than your belief that you have the answer. There's no answer for this. There's no answer that even the question doesn't pose itself well. All we know is, I know nothing. I know nothing. I don't know what the next moment brings me. But I do know if I sit in this simple space that I have been trained to sit in for 50 years, and that muscle helps, by the way. 50 years of sitting builds a muscle. Just like going to the gym for 50 years. It may not look like the muscles when you were 20, but they'll still function. And 50 years of sitting gives you this capacity. And the capacity is a capacity that will benefit certainly you, certainly the mandala of people around you, and then the world. How does it benefit the world? Well, I can only tell you that every spark ignites. Everything that you are lights the world in some way. It may not, now that we're self-isolating at home, it's not going to light a lot of people out there in the supermarket or elsewhere, but it is a light. It's a shining light. And each of you is a light, and you're a proven light. And you open so deeply to this energy. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here and I wouldn't be talking to you. You are manifestations of this kindness, compassion, goodness, clarity, beauty, truth, love. These are all emanating from you. Your job, if you wish to do it, is let it expand as deeply as it can. You can get on media and call people you haven't talked to and say, hi, how are you? You can call people you love. You can do this Zoom now that we all are brilliant at Zooming. You can go out there and check in with other people. You know, I can hug my grandchildren over the media network here, the cyberspace. That's how it's functioning. I don't know why it's functioning like that. And I don't, as a storyteller, love that this is all happening. It's too much like a bad Hollywood movie on so many levels. On another level, as a writer, I'm able to, you know, sort of generalize where all this can go from the worst to the best. Mostly I am told when my mind goes in those directions, shut up, be still now, be still now. Go back into this space. When you go to bed at night, sit before you go to bed and open and connect with the what is. Feel the stillness and then lay down on your pillow and take that with you. If you're going to go to the bed after the evening news or the late night news, I mean, I'm sure you've all probably figured out what that feels like. The idea is find your space, your still space, go there, expand it as much as you can, or allow it to expand, which is even better. Let it wipe the individualized you out of the picture as much as it can, and just be this space of amazement and contentment. I will tell you, this will annoy a lot of people, I think. I had thought maybe not to talk about it, but I have never been happier in my life than I am right now. I don't know what to say about that. I am so in love with life, so in love with being alive, so enjoying my breakfast, so enjoying going out to get the newspaper, so enjoying washing my hands 1,000 times, so enjoying going for walks on the quiet roads here that I don't see another person. I am in love with this, so much so that I would think I wouldn't want to leave this world. On the other hand, if I were to die tomorrow, and all of us could, I will never have been happier. This is the most beautiful moment. My house is expanding. I can't go into many quarters of it because they're all taped off and the people still working, and we don't want to have, you know, cross energetic, what do you want to call it, germ escapes intersecting. But even that, I don't know what to do, but I'm being very, very observant. My sons both want me and Blanche to stay very much isolated. They bring us groceries. I've been very served by people. I would like to continue to serve as well. And the way I serve most, I think, is teaching this great lesson that life is an incredibly beautiful, wonderful space to be in. It may be dramatic, it may be altered, it may be full of drama, it may be full of upheaval, but it's still life. And we are so lucky to be alive. And all the old paradigms of, you know, every day is a gift, and, you know, wake up joyful that you are having another opportunity to be here. That is really, really resonating with me in the deepest, most powerful way. I am truly empathetic with and sad for people trapped in really untenable situations. I am really conscious of that. I cannot save the world. I cannot do it. I know if there are stories out there that are stories that break your heart. What can I do? The doing is the being. I can be a force of goodness, kindness, compassion, and love, and I will do whatever I am told to do to help whoever I am able to help in whatever way I can to make myself available to the larger reality that we all inhabit. That's all we can do, guys. You can't go out and save the world individually. You're going to hear stories that break your heart. Every one of those stories is a private journey for the people going through it. There is something larger at work here, and I don't know why it pinprints us in a different way, but we are all picked to go through our version of it. Understand who you are. Understand what you can do. Be the voice of love and openness and compassion and truth and caring for anybody that you can. Reach out beyond the network. I've gotten emails from people from high school. Shocking, shocking. One man I haven't seen him in 45 years and ran into him again in Seattle. And he sent me an email about another guy who was in our high school a year before us, who's become one of the biggest epidemiologists in the world. He's the one who stopped smallpox. He was in my high school. I never knew that. And I saw a video of him giving a TED talk, and I saw one recently talking about what's going on here. His conversation about what's happening in the world was so moving to me, because he so saw what was coming and what it was about. And I went to high school with him. I never knew him. But the magic of these kinds of connections is like, wow, the world is full of amazing beings. Somebody sent me an email with a video of a monk, a guy who's like a monk, big, long bearded guy. I'm forgetting his name. I think it's John Bishop, and you may know him if that's the right name. Old guy who's been a meditator his whole life. And He gave the most beautiful talk. If I find it, I'll send it off to you. Gave the most beautiful talk, but he said so many really interesting things. And one of them was how much we love fear. And the reason we love fear, as he kept talking about it, I understood, was because it's such a stimulant. The thing about fear, and we engage it in many ways because it makes us feel alive. We have a lot of fear and we vibrate with a certain energy. It's not the best energy, but sometimes it's very life preserving. And sometimes, of course, it overflows and then it becomes life damning and destructive. But I understood how many people are cultivating fear to feel alive, and it put a different spin on it for me. And, you know, we all find different things that stimulate us and we go toward them, and that we come into a time like this and we're looking for stimulation, especially in the isolation that we're all experiencing in our homes. I will tell you, the greatest stimulant in the world is this vast oceanic powerhouse of love and well-being and compassion and service that exists in our chest and in our gut, and that will flow up and out of us into the universe, and everything we look at can be benefited by it. We can become so stimulated by this energy that we are. And if we tap into it and we do the work and we do the sitting and we let this thing express itself, we will be stimulated and in love with life more than you can possibly imagine. That's what we have to do now. I don't know anything else to tell you, because each of you is sitting in a different home in a different situation. Some of you have to leave your home and get on an elevator and walk down the street and go to a supermarket and get food for yourself and run into all these people and risk possibly dying. My son brings me groceries and I have to wipe them down and wash them and do all this stuff so I don't die. I will tell you, the nice thing about being 77 years old is I kind of don't care if I die. It's like, okay, I don't have anything that I have to do out there. I would hug my grandchildren forever if I could, and I would hug all of you guys. But if I die tomorrow, as I said earlier, I will die happy. I have had the most wonderful ride, and it's partly wonderful because it includes you. It's because it includes you guys. I love you so much. You have no idea when I sit with you how much gratitude I have that you have entered my lives, that you have brought this openness and this availability and this godlike presence into my life. And then I sit and help and bring it back to you. And it cross-pollinates, it merges, it grows, it evolves, and it becomes something that helps the world in some whatever infinitesimal or maybe massive way. Who knows? But we're all going to die. You know, kind of, I wish it wasn't going to be tomorrow, because I'm still loving walking. I'm still loving talking to you. I'm still loving, you know, my peanut butter sandwich in the morning. But if it does happen, and we're living in a time where those kinds of things can happen, well, God bless us all. We are all in good hands. We're going to go through probably, if you're going to die, sorry, I pushed you in this direction. If you're going to die, it's not probably going to be comfortable. And if that's to happen, and there's discomfort and anger and fear and all of that stuff that comes up, know that you will not be alone, that the biology of a human being produces fear and anger and all that stuff in those moments. And I reference Christ all the time in this way, because his death was suffering on a massive scale. And he was abandoned by his Father. He was abandoned. Why have you abandoned me? We're all going to go through that, probably, all of us. But somewhere in the middle of that, and I know I speak this often, Christ said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the spiritual journey. While all this is taking place in us, while the joy is there and the beauty is there, it's easy. When that all gets taken away and we are forsaken and we cannot find our way there, in the middle of our deepest struggle, one thinks about those teachings and you realize the grace of that moment may be the arrival of this moment where you go, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's the beginning of the end of your journey. And this is our journey. We're on a spiritual life, learning just to be able to do that, to love and express joy and forgiveness into the world at any given moment. And when the time comes where the test is really at its greatest, to do the thing that Rudy taught us, ask for help to surrender. Ask for help to surrender. And that's it. So again, it's probably a million things one could say, but the simplest thing to leave you with is that we have a practice. We have a practice. Do it. Just do the practice. It will serve you. And when you get to be my age and you're near the end and you don't have a lot more to do, it gets, not that it gets easier, but it expresses itself more beautifully and completely than it perhaps does in the middle of life. But in any case, I'm so glad that I had Rudy for 50 years, that I was guided to this moment to be able to talk this talk. I don't know that it is anything other than just a reminder that you've already heard before, but all I can tell you, you have the practice, you have the potential. Do it. Just do it. It'll get you through the day. Thank you.